Team of solo, you must be bugging out. New to my shit, home on the furlough. Axe around, who's laid up? Sharp and straight up. Mafioso, getting niggas wake sprayed up. Skies are misty. My life predicted by a gypsy. I one day walk in the shots, drunk of champagne for six.
Hello, world. What's up, guys? This is Dave Van Auken once again with the Fight Bananas Podcast. How's everyone doing? Guys, we got a stacked show, like always, right? That's just like the ordinary. That's just the reg on the Fight Bananas Podcast. Guys, make sure you download, subscribe on all podcast platforms, YouTube, iHeartRadio especially. Cool show, guys. I've been talking to her for a minute, trying to have her on the show. I just like her story. There's just so much that we can go with it. She's a wrestler. She's in college. Her father with the Champions MMA, just so much. So we're going to talk to Brianna Kellen coming up on the show. Huge fan. She's got a humongous future in whatever she wants to do. Just a superstar person, wrestler, fighter. She's got endless potential in anything. Like, she can be the next, not next, how about the first female president, right? She could be the next MMA superstar. She could be a, a doctor. She could do whatever she wants. I love me some Brianna Kellen, star, lover. All right, guys, I want to talk about the show that just happened this past weekend, the UFC ESPN Plus. We talked about it. We had our locked in picks. We got 3 out of 4. We got 3 out of 4. We're happy with that. We can go 3 out of 4, 75%. That's a passing grade, I think. Okay, it all starts with the main event, guys. Jan Bonkovic, he fought Corey Anderson, and it was kind of maybe winner fights John Jones, the greatest light heavyweight of all time. And, you know, just even that, I thought it was pretty weird. I just thought ever since the Dominic Reyes decision, and it was just a flurry of negative feedback. Oh, you know, Reyes won that fight. Reyes is going to get the rematch. Dominic Reyes deserves the title. I thought they would put this main event on the back burner. And then I thought to, you know, it's a business. It's a entertainment. I thought they would talk about Bonkovic and Corey Anderson as a future contender, but not as the next contender. I was kind of blown away by the commentary team. John Jones sitting first row. I know he's from, you know, it's New Mexico and Albuquerque, New Mexico. I know it. But it just seemed really hard that they were pushing this as a number one contender fight. So I was just kind of taken back by that. Bonkovic, first round knockout, hammer fist. Even the Thor, the mighty Thor, was super impressed by his hammer fist. You know, hats off. Is Jan next? He might be. He really might be. John Jones was all about it. Where, when, he was all about it. Just a, I'm puzzled. I really am. I don't know who's next. Maybe they know something. Maybe, you know, Dom's a little bit banged up. Hey, maybe Jones doesn't want to fight Dom right away. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm puzzled. I guess they can go in different ways. They can get a better deal because they can use the other one against him. You know, they can't say, Dom can say, hey, guys, I want, you know, $1 million to fight Jones next. They're like, no, we have Bonkovic right here. He's going to take $300K. It's like, so, guys, it's a business. We talk about it all the time. It's a little bit of, it's hard business. The fight game is the fight game. But, hats off to Jan Bonkovic. Easily now next in line, or I really would. I love number one contendership fights. I would love to see him versus Dominic Reyes. Like, that would be pretty awesome. Talking about pretty awesome all weekend, Fight Bananas, the website, we put it on Facebook, Fight Bananas, Instagram, Fight Bananas Official. Brock Weaver, our guy. We've been in a couple of the last island fights that he fought live, versus Tyler Hill, you know, James Free Freeman, Brock Weaver. We even saw him have a boxing match after the main event went off the air versus one of Roy Jones's junior guys. So, you know, we've seen a lot of Brock Weaver, and we love it. He's just one of those guys you can't miss. He's one of those guys that is all fight, all heart, all grit, all those crazy analogies that you can use. That's Brock Weaver. That's Brock Weaver. Dean Toole tells me all the time, I don't have to worry about his mentality. you know, maybe the fight game, maybe he's got a bad matchup, maybe someone's really good at submissions, whatever, whatever, whatever. But the mentality to walk into the cage, to step up, to man up, to be in the moment, to live in the moment like Eminem, Brock Weaver's got that in spades. So, the fight goes, he fought Ricardo Vargas. You know, I thought it was going well for Brock. Almost had the submission early in the first. And then the knee happened. I was devastated just because, you know, we never want to see anyone get hurt, especially someone, you know, we talk to on the regular, we care about all that stuff. So it's like, man, that stinks. And then it's his debut. Guys, Brock Weaver put on the Contender Series last summer. He had the speech of a lifetime. People are still talking about it. People were still retweeting it the past weekend before his first fight. And then he was supposed to fight on Tampa. And then he was going to be on another card. It just seems like this has been a long time coming. His entrance was out of this world. This entrance gives me goosebumps. If you haven't seen it yet, go check out Brock Weaver on Instagram. Brock Weaver UFC. But Brock Weaver gets the win. He was very adamant about he would love to run it back. And they probably will. I thought it was a kind of a good fight so far. It was exciting. The stare down, the weigh-ins, all that stuff was really, you know, intense. So I don't think UFC will have any problems of running it back. You know, he's 1-0 in the UFC. It is what it is. Diego Sanchez won that way as well. A win is a win in the UFC. But Brock wanted to win impressively. Brock did want to have one of those shoe shiners. Brock wanted to throw the hands for 15 minutes. That's just Brock Weaver. But I was so excited for him, happy for him. You know, gets the win. We'll see what's next. I do think they'll make a media rematch. You know, maybe in 2 months. It seems like both guys are okay. I talked to people that were talking to Brock all after the fight and flying home. You know, he's fine. He's in good spirits, and he's happy where he's at, being a 1-0 UFC fighter. So, guys, we were telling you we have Brianna Kellen coming on the show any minute now. Just very super pumped with everything that's going on. We have Island Fight 62 coming up in a couple weeks. That's February 28th. We got Taylor Jenkins in a kickboxing match February 29th. We got a lot of stuff going on. We just had a great talk with Impa Kasanganai. We told you guys last week was absolutely bananas. We had Glover Teixeira, Curtis Blaydes. We had a couple live in studios. I love this. It's great. We can do Skype. You know, we can do a lot of phone interviews. We can go back and forth. We can make it happen. I can talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. I love being in our studio. The Banana Studio is home, and I love when we have guests in there. So we have two live shows last week. Liz Buser from The Other Side in Peril. All those great hand wraps. Definitely check out Liz and The Other Side MMA. And then we had Christy Martin. She put on a hell of a show a couple weeks ago in Daytona Beach. Oh, talking about a hell of a show. I'm sorry. You guys probably saw a lot of pictures on my social media platforms. Undisputed Promotions had a boxing event at Gilt Nightclub, Orlando, Florida, just this couple past this Saturday, 5 days ago, 3 days ago. One of the best boxing shows I have ever been to live. Incredible. Hats off to Anthony Arvelo Jr. Just an amazing, amazing show. The fight matchups, the fighters, the boxers, the commentary team, Miss the Queen of Undisputed Promotions, Shamara Woods, Coach Barry Stewart, Eric, everyone that was attached to Undisputed Promotions that night, A+. It was the best boxing show I've ever been to live. It was out of this world. Loved it. Undisputed Promotions doing big things. I know they got a pro show April 18th. Bringing Orlando professional boxing to Orlando. But all right, guys, we talked about it. So Jan Błachowicz, is he next? Brock Weaver, hats off. Just some cleaning up some stuff around here in Florida. Guys, download and subscribe to the podcast Fight Bananas on any platform, especially iHeartRadio and YouTube. Guys, let's talk to Brianna Kellen. Phones pull crack out pussies and buttholes, bring a G's and the D's roll, they can't touch those. Why shoot the B's about it when you could be about it? All right, guys, on the Fight Bananas podcast hotline, Brianna Kellen, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, so good. We're so busy. But awesome. Yeah. How We've been trying to get this together for months now. I'm so happy we're finally doing this. You know, we've been watching you guys from afar, and I've heard your name probably for a couple years now. Main reason from Pete White and Taylor White, and they're like, wow. They're like, yeah, Bree's one of the best wrestlers in the state of Florida, like bar none. So, for one, what's up with you? What are you doing right now? And, yeah, just everything in your world.
I actually just got back from, I did like a 6 a.m. jiu-jitsu class this morning. So I just got back from that. I'm dealing with like a, I'm sitting on the couch now, but I'm dealing with like a low back injury. So I'm not wrestling currently for this year. I'm redshirting. But yeah, I just transferred schools from Bristol, Tennessee. And I was going to King University. I went there for 2 years and I just didn't like it. It wasn't the program so much. It was just like the area wasn't happy there. I'm a Florida girl, so I was missing the sun a little bit.
Right.
And then, so I transferred. So now I'm going to Life University to finish out my wrestling career and get my bachelor's degree here in Marietta, Georgia.
No, that's awesome. That's kind of funny you said that because it's so true. Your environment, you know, we'll get into the gym and your dad in a second. But like, if you're not happy with your surroundings, it doesn't matter how good you're doing, you know, your individual performance, if it's in sports or work or whatever it is. Right. But if you're not in a good spot, it's like it's not going to build success and you're not going to get the best out of it. So transferring. So, OK, so rest. So you're redshirting this year and then you got 2 more years left to do some damage.
Yeah, to do some damage. No, but you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, whenever I was up there, I was a completely different person. Like, I'm so much happier here. And it's really crazy how much it changed things. Because, like, at the end of the year last year, like, I absolutely hated wrestling. I was, like, completely done with it. Ended up going and just training, like, Muay Thai over the summer. And I was like, you know what? I didn't even train wrestling. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to see it. I hated it. And then, like, I changed my mind and I decided I wanted to come up and transfer schools because I knew the head coach here. And honestly, that was, like, the best decision I ever made because, like, I love it here. All the girls on the team are really awesome. We're all family. And, like, I don't know. It's really different because when I was at King, I really wasn't close with, like, any of the girls on the team. So it just sucked, like, not having friends.
Right.
And just the environment in general was just bad.
Man, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm happy that you're in a better place now. You also mentioned about being a Florida girl, Lakeland, Florida, Champions MMA. Why was there not a good situation for you to try to go to school here in Florida? Just it didn't work out?
Yeah, so in Florida, there's no, like, women's wrestling in college. Like, they don't have that in Florida. The sport's growing a lot now. There's a bunch of schools that are now, like, starting their D1 programs for women's wrestling. King, the other college that I was going to, they were D2.
Right.
So they're pushing to make it, like, NCAA for women's. And then the school that I'm at now is now NAIA. And our school is, like, ranked first for the NAIA conference or division.
Damn.
So a little pretty good.
Oh, a little humble brag there at the end.
Yeah, right.
Do you think does the great hot trend of female MMA, especially UFC and, you know, Bellator and so on and so on, do you think that has anything to do with hopefully continuing growth in wrestling for D1 for females? Or do you think it's just something that's like an individual sport and that's, you know, two totally different things?
No, I think they definitely, like, intertwine with each other.
Right.
I know there's, like, a couple girls on my team. There's about four of them that, no, I could say four or five of the girls on my team have done jiu-jitsu. One of them has had a fight. Another one, actually two of them have had a fight. One fought in Bellator on an amateur card a couple years ago, and they have, like, a jiu-jitsu background. And so a lot of us, like, you know, we'll train together and we have a lot in common because of that. But yeah, no, it definitely works together. I think wrestling is, like, a big thing going into the UFC. I feel like it's like the, it, definitely wins you over for a lot of fights. I feel like, the stand up game a little bit, but, if you can get somebody to the ground, then it's hard for anybody to you know, the just that wrestling control, and I feel like that wins most of it. But I definitely have seen, like, a lot of girls transition over from wrestling to MMA.
100%. We're talking with Brianne Kellen. We've talked about it multiple times on the show, Brie. If you can control the fight, if I had to create a fighter, hey, my son is 7.5 years old. We always joke that he's going to be the next welterweight champion. And I always say, like, if we're going to have one number one base, you're going to do this, and then we're going to learn everything else. It's always wrestling. If you can control the Khabib Nurmagomedov, the MMA wrestling, grappling, just control your opponent. If you do want to stand, you can stand. If you want her, you want her butt on the mat, you get her butt on the mat. I just think wrestling is just so vital in MMA, and you know, and that's kind of where I'm going to take this next question, and I think I know the answer, but hey, maybe not the whole Fight Bananas community doesn't. So after 2 years and you keep on kicking butt, is that just a easy, natural progression for you? Is, yeah, I'm going to be MMA, I'm going to go amateurs, I'm going to do my 3, 4, 5 Emmys, and then go pro, follow Jessica Borga to Bellator, follow whoever.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it, right?
Yeah. I'm definitely looking to transition over. Like I said, like at the end of last year, like I was completely done with wrestling. I was actually trying to get into MMA, but my dad was like, "You're an idiot. You're going to stop wrestling now. Like, you just have 2 more years. Just finish." And so I'm out here finishing the journey. But yeah, no, definitely. Like, I had my first fight over the summer. It was a Muay Thai fight. It was like an IKF championship. It was an open division. I did pretty good. For the first fight, I fought a girl that was like, let's say, I think she had like 30 plus fights.
Wow.
She was out from, I think she was from Cali, and she was a pretty good fighter. She actually almost just fought this girl. Like, she was going to fight this. No, she did fight this girl that, was going to fight to take a spot for the, USMF team. And she ended up beating her. And now that girl that she beat isn't going to go fight for that spot because she lost to this girl. But
wow.
No, I beat this girl at the IKF, and then I had a close match with another girl. I know she does MMA. And I just didn't have enough kicks in. I was just throwing straight punches. So, I mean, my boxing a little bit there, but I have a lot to work on for stand-up. But yeah, I'm mainly just like a wrestler and grappler.
Right. Well, that's a great base. That's a great place to start. You know, when, and especially too, I always think this, all the high level, the best fighters in the world, we did mention them, so we'll mention again, like a Khabib Nurmagomedov, even like Amanda Nunes, you know, John Jones, whoever it is, the best fighters in the world, they're really, they excel in at least something. There's like one thing, like, you know, any of the top 10 best fighters, Conor McGregor, he's got the left hand. His stand-up is just amazing. His precision, you know, whoever it is. Yeah, like Khabib, he's just, he will maul you, his pace. Colby Covington, there's just always the best fighter. So if you have that, everything else you can kind of pick up and learn little by little. And it is wild nowadays. Like, you do have to be a mixed martial artist. There is no more like, okay, he's just a wrestler, he's just a stand-up guy. Like, you need everything. So that is cool that you know you have to come back. But when you do come back, let's talk about it. We kind of mentioned his name, the gym a little bit. Let's mention your dad, Champions MMA. You have a great place to go back to and, you know, keep on putting the building blocks for you to become a professional fighter. And that's Champions MMA.
Yeah. Absolutely. My dad's gyms, is like mainly Brazilian jiu-jitsu based, but I mean, they're always in there grinding. Everybody, they'll be in there for freaking hours just, and the mats are soaked. Everybody's flipping around. And then like usually on Tuesday and Thursday nights, they'll have jiu-jitsu class at 6:15, 6:30. And then after around like 7:30-ish, 8, they'll start their MMA class, and mostly everybody from the Jits class will transfer over, and everybody just, you know, they train their ass off. So it's awesome. Like, every time I go back home, me and Borga will train together. And me and her, like, we love training with each other because we always just go at it. Like, whether it's stand-up, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, like, we'll just, like, go crazy with each other. And we love it because it's hard to find girls that will work their ass off, you know. but and Borg is so passionate about what she does, so I look up to her so much. She's an awesome person.
100%. And guys, Brianna Kellen's talking about Jessica Black Widow Borga. She's a Bellator fighter. She just won her fight last year. I know she's super, super itching to get back in the cage. I talked to her a couple times. She's been on the show a couple times. Big fans of Jessica Borga. So let's kind of stay with that. Isn't it? To me, it's really cool, you know, to see a blueprint. You have someone in Lakeland, goes to the gym, grinds often. You say you love to train with her. She has became, you know, an amateur to a professional, and now she's on the biggest stage, one of the biggest stages in all mixed martial arts, professional for Bellator. Doesn't that give you, you know, a blueprint, a game plan, a hope, whatever the word is, right, to kind of like, okay, if she can do it, you know, I can do it. This is awesome. This is the following of the footsteps. Like, how cool is that to have someone in your own gym be a professional fighter for Bellator?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Seeing her train and just seeing her make the big jump from, you know, amateur. Like, she fought and she's gone through so many injuries. She's crazy. One of her fights, this girl fought with a broken nose, or I think it was, like, broken jaw, and she was all banged up, and she's, like, the toughest chick I know. She just kept going, and she finished the fight out, and, like, with her broken face. And like, I remember after the fight talking to her, and she was so upset. But like, the next time I went back up to college, but I saw her again later when I came back home, and she was already going back at it. And like, I mean, anytime she's injured, she's still at the gym watching, learning, like trying to do whatever she can to get better. And I really do look up to that, and I think it's awesome seeing her at my dad's gym training, because she's so loyal to the gym and she's always there putting the work in. And it definitely shows that, like, you know, there's a path there, and if that's what I want to pursue, which it is, like, it's there for me. The opportunity's there. She always tells me, she's like, you're going to be fighting, like, 115. Like, you're just going to be fucking all these girls up if you can hang with me, you know, like. And so I think it's super cool to be able to train with somebody with the good experience she's had, because, I mean, like, I've trained with her since she started.
Right.
She's grown so much in jiu-jitsu. Like, she tapped me out the other day, and I was like, holy shit. Like, I mean, I'm rusty. I haven't trained, but I was like, damn, you know, like, you're there. You're awesome. Like, I'm so proud. And she's excelled so much. She's always in the gym, and her stand-up game's getting a lot better. She's a lot quicker on her feet. Her wrestling's getting a lot better. Our gym, we practice a lot of wrestling too. So, it's awesome to have that background. A lot of the guys from Lake Gibson will come in to train. That's the school I graduated from. But they'll come in to train and wrestle around and help us all out. So it's a really awesome atmosphere in there. It's always good energy, and she's always, you know, she's like one of the happiest people you'll ever talk to. So I am really inspired whenever I see her doing her thing and being in Bellator. It's really awesome to watch her, you know, make her dreams come true. So I hope that one day I'll be able to follow that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. She's so awesome. We talk to her almost regular. Like I said, she's been on the show, but even just now and then, you know, she sees what's going on in my life. I see what's going on in her life, and we just chit-chat back and forth. She's just beyond the fighter she is. She's just a great person, really cool, down to earth. You know, love talking to Jessica Borga.
Absolutely.
You mentioned your dad about something, like, you were iffy about, you know, I don't want to use the word quitting, but you were thinking about maybe leaving wrestling, and you have this great gym with your dad, the coach, and all this stuff going on, and he's like, no. You're like, come on, like, finish the journey.
Oh, yeah, he's stubborn. Oh, my gosh. If you look on any of his Facebook posts, you'll see this hashtag. He hashtagged this hashtag 8 years. And what this means is 4 hard years in college and 4 hard years in wrestling in high school. So he had me make this promise to him in 8th grade, and nobody really knows. A couple people know it, but not a lot of people know what it means. But he made me promise him in 8th grade, before I even started wrestling and knew what I was getting into, that I would wrestle. And, you know, I'd wrestle for 8 years, 4 in high school, 4 in college, and that the rest of my life will be easy if I can just do that and put the hard work in. And at the time, I was like, yeah, like, let's do it. Like, I was excited. He hyped me up a little bit for it. I remember my freshman year of high school, I would come home crying every single day to my dad. And I was like, Dad, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, I was on an all-boys team, and they would beat the shit out of me every day. And I was like, Dad, I'll do every jiu-jitsu class. I won't miss any classes. Like, I can't do this. I can't do it. And he would never let me quit. And, like, it was just, it was the hardest thing ever. But I started to get, you know, better at it. I learned a lot more, and then I was able to compete, and I started to build confidence from it, and then it wasn't really up to him anymore. It was more my motivation and drive for it. And then, yeah, so last year, at the end of the year last year, I ended up, like, after the season, they were having, like, off-season practices, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I went and told my coach, I was like, I don't want to wrestle anymore. Like, I want to start my MMA career. That's what really what I wanted to do. And I would drive like 45 minutes every day to go to a boxing gym out in Johnson City. And I like fell in love with boxing. And I was like, oh, you know, I think I want to do this. Like, I already have my wrestling down. I've already wrestled for 6 years. And I've done jiu-jitsu my whole life. Like, I'm a purple belt. I can do this, whatever. And I ended up giving it a lot of thought over the summer when I went back to Florida and trained. I had my first fight, but I had so much thought. I was like, I didn't even pay attention to wrestling at all, that I kind of thought about it closer to when school was getting ready to start.
Right.
And I decided that I wanted to transfer and come back. And when my dad stopped, like, forcing it on me, I realized that, wow, like, you know, I only have this opportunity now to go and wrestle. Like, I can fight for however long with the experience that I have. I don't have to fight right now, but I won't be able to come back to college, like, and live, you know, live the college lifestyle and be able to train at the same time with all the people my same age and be in my prime for wrestling now. So it's crazy because I actually just got a tattoo. So that 8 years hashtag, he has a tattoo of it on his, I think it's on his left arm. So he has like an Enzo circle in black, and it's kind of like a Buddha thing. It's pretty symbolic. It's like, it means like striving for perfection, but never perfect because it's an open circle.
Right.
And, and then the inside is the Japanese number 8, and it stands for our hashtag 8 years. And I just got that on my back.
Wow. Look at that. I love this story. Absolutely love it. And your dad's right. Like, and I like how you know, of course, he helped you at the beginning, but then it's like you kind of came up with like, yeah, you know, I should do this. And you kind of came up with your own answer in a way because, yeah, you can only do this once. And with your age, you're so young in the game, like MMA and the UFC, Abri, like it's always going to be there. They decide a humongous ESPN deal, Reebok, like they're not going away anytime soon. Even, you know, the PFL is picking up steam. Kayla Harrison, you know, with a judo championship. There's so many avenues now for mixed martial artists and especially female mixed martial artists to keep on building. So I think he nailed it. I think you nailed it. Like it's, you have college and this wrestling and this goal, and when you achieve it, it's just going to be like, I feel like you think you're going to achieve anything. I think if you want to become strawweight UFC champion of the world, boom, that's what you're going to do. I just really do believe that. Talking about UFC, there's a couple of fights that just happened, and I would love your take on, you know, who are some of the females that you like to watch? What kind of females you think that are maybe underrated and stuff of that nature? Like, we just saw Valentina fight, one of the best female fighters on this planet. Amanda Nunes hasn't lost in forever. She's just an absolute stud. We have Ioana versus Wei Li about to come up this month. So who are some females that you like to watch, and who might be like your all-time favorite UFC female fighter?
I used to look up to Ronda Rousey. She was my favorite.
Right.
You know, she'd go in there and just mess everyone up. And Misha Tate a little bit because she had a wrestling background. But they, you know, they're not in the game anymore. But no, definitely now I think Tatiana Suarez, I think they kind of feel like she, I don't know. I feel like she's not like favorited to win all the time, but she's definitely going to be the UFC champ. She's a wrestler, and she was like I believe, in Olympic trials, going to go to the Olympics, and she ended up getting, like, thyroid cancer, and so she couldn't wrestle anymore. And then once she overcame cancer and beat it, she ended up transferring over into the UFC, and, like, her game is just, like, nasty. Like, they call her the girl Khabib, because she really does, like, maul, like, people. She fought, I believe, Carla Esparza, and just, like, and she's a wrestler, too, and she just completely, like, messed her up, just elbowed her, like, crazy, and she just, like, took her down. Like, her game was just a lot better.
Real quick, I was going to say with Tiana, I just talked to Sarah McDonald over there of PY Boxing, and she said the same thing you just said. I couldn't believe it. Like, I, you know, I'm a fan of her as well. She is. She's awesome. But she said the same 42 words you just said about Soares. I was like, wow. So, right. Okay. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I got to give her another look, because I know, yeah, she's undefeated. I think she's 7 or 8-0, absolute stud. I know she is coming back from an injury, but maybe I got to give her a double look. That's so funny. That's the second time I've heard that on this podcast in the last 10 days.
No, yeah, definitely. She's a nasty, like, she's going to go win that. Cause I mean, she'll take anybody down. She has that wrestling mindset, and she has that pressure. And, I mean, she's learning her stand-up game. The first couple of fights she had, like, you see her stand-up, and it's not very good at all. But now, I mean, she's getting a lot better. Stand-up's not too hard to learn. I feel like my dad's always told me that's the quickest one to learn. Like, it's going to take you way longer to learn how to wrestle and how to do jiu-jitsu than it would to do stand-up. Like, your stand-up's easy to tweak if you've wrestled or, you know, been in martial arts for a while. But yeah, she's probably the number one girl that I look up to now. Valentina, she's another one too. She's a badass. She's just complete machine gun. Like, her stand-up, her Muay Thai background is, like, unbelievable. Like, she times things perfectly. When she knocked out Jessica I, yeah, she's messed her up. Like, she just timed it perfectly. The kick was there. Like, she just saw an opening. And, like, from doing Muay Thai this summer, like, I could understand, like, you know, her dynamic and stuff. But she's another one. And her, you know, she's really well-rounded. It's not even only her stand-up, but her wrestling's great. Her jiu-jitsu's great. Like, she's a really good, well-rounded fighter.
Oh, 100%. And it's so funny, too, because sometimes life with timing and anything, a job, a career, a relationship, MMA, you know, when she fought Amanda, I think it was just too soon. I don't think she was just ready for it yet. And I feel like if she fights Amanda right now, for one, it's like it's becoming like one of these dream fights. But it's like, guys, it's happened twice and she lost to her twice. But now in 2020, 2021, like, her versus Amanda would be like, I would think maybe the biggest female fight they can make. And talking about that, I cannot wait. It's coming up this month. It's the co-main event. Main event is Izzy versus Yuel, but the co-main is Wei Li versus Ioana. And I'm like, I just love this fight. This is like old school versus new school. This is like maybe Ioana's last shot for the title. Wei Li's won like 19 straight fights. She's just so dominant. So I'm so pumped on this fight. How about you?
Yeah, I think that'll be a good one. I feel like Ioana is, you know, she's good. Her stand-up is great. This is the Wei Li. What's her first name?
It's so funny. We had her on the podcast. We even had his agent, and I've heard four different things. I heard it's Jung. Jung Wei Li. I heard Zhang. There's so many.
Zhang Weili or something like that. Yeah, what? I can't pronounce her name. The girl that does all the knees, right?
Yeah, oh, she's just so brutal, and she's just like
Zhang Weili. Okay.
Yep. She's like a tornado.
She's nasty. I saw her fight. I watched it with my dad. Who did she fight? She was kneeing somebody and knocked.
She just beat Jessica Aguilar.
Right? It was Rose?
No, she hasn't fought Rose yet. She fought Jessica Aguilar, who beat Rose.
Okay. No, that's who it was. Yeah, yep. So then they fought. Yeah,
right.
No, she just beat the hell out of her. But she came from a background of, I believe, it's the Chinese wrestling. My dad used to do it. What's it called? But she was nasty. I remember watching that fight and just all the knees, like, and her wrestling's decent too because of the background. But no, I mean, Joanna, her stand-up's there. I feel like that's the best thing that she has. And she's always quick on her feet, and she's strong and powerful. I think she'll have another hard time making the weight. I don't know. I feel like she's a little more distracted. And I know that, you know, once you lose the UFC title, I feel like it's a lot harder to get it back and to find that focus again. But, I mean, I think Zhang will beat her.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never really thought of that. There's not been a lot of two-time champions. I think, like, GSP, maybe DC. There's, like, a couple, but, of course, you're right. There's not a lot just because it's so damn hard. Like, it's so hard to keep on running up that mountain. And then especially to me in the fight game, you know, I think it's just out there. I think a boxing champion said it a long time ago. Like, it's just so hard to wake up in silk sheets. Like when you get to the very top and you get money and you become the champion, it's like, okay, you just said you just got done training and, you know, you're up at 6 a.m. working your tail off. Like, when you become the champion, you're like, I can skip that. Let me go in at one. And of course, there's someone underneath you. There's someone young. There's someone up at 6 a.m. So when you are the champion, it's just like, it is. It's tough.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I feel like once, I don't know, I feel like for her at least, like, you know, she won it and she was the champ. And I mean, I feel like that's enough for her. Like, I feel like she's all right. Just like circling. I don't know. I can't speak for her. I don't know her, but, that's kind of how I feel. I think that, like, it's hard for her. It's going to be hard for her to find that motivation. Like, you know, she always has that thought to fall back on, like, oh, you know, I was the champ at one time. Like, I was the best at
right,
one time.
Right. And it's such a mental sport too. I've talked to, you know, I talked to so many people. I talked to UFC champs. I talked to amateurs and everyone in between. And it's like, of course, yeah, you need to do the push-ups. You need to do the ab work. You got to get the, you know, your work and your training in with your coaches. But like, so much of the mental side of the game, where are you mentally going into a fight, a week, a training camp, and of course on fight day, it's so, It blows my mind when I talk to fighters about an hour before a fight, and there's like no right answer, but I've heard 100 different things. I've heard they're nervous beyond all end and they're throwing up. I heard they're just listening to music and they're not worried one bit. And I've heard everything in between. What do you think of the mental side of mixed martial arts?
What do you feel? What was the question? I'm
like,
so sorry.
How important is it to you? Like, how important is the mentality and the mental side of MMA?
There's a thing, like, for wrestling, you say, like, it's, like, 80% mental, 20% physical. Like, it's 20% actually wrestling, but it's 80% in your head. And that's absolutely true. Like, I mean, I've went out and won, like, I won a national tournament just because I had the mindset, oh my God, like, I'm going to win this. I know I'm going to win. Like, I won my 4 state titles in high school at 113 pounds because I knew, like, I just knew going in there, I trusted in my preparation. I trained harder than everybody in this room. Like, I grind extra on top of what my coach puts me through. And it just, the mindset of that was, I was able to have confidence in my training, and so it allowed me to have confidence in my performance like when I would go out there. But it's definitely, like, you know, you get I get nervous for everything, like so, like, even before a match. But I remember in high school, like, my mentality was just like just completely focused. So when I would go out there, it's like I would step on the mat and know that, like, I did everything I could training for this, and that's what I would like hold on to, and that's like how I would, like, be able to build my confidence. And, you know, if you don't have that, the opposite side of that is, I mean, I've lost matches because I'm like, I've been distracted before, or I've lost matches because I'll go out there and I'm just not ready to compete. I'm like, you know, like, I don't, like, I'm second guessing myself. I'm overthinking, not sure what I should be doing, like, or I'm overwhelmed and negative in my head, thinking too much. Like, that'll definitely play a big part. And then you'll go out there and fucking forget everything that you learned. Like, it happens.
Wow, yeah.
Crazy game.
It is. It is. It's a crazy game. It's the fight game. Bree, thank you so much for coming on, man. We've been trying to get this gone for a while. We're so happy to talk to you. We're huge fans of you from afar. Keep on grinding. Keep on doing your thing. Hashtag 8 years. A couple left. That's it. You're almost done. And then
almost there, man.
Almost there. So so happy for you. Definitely plug whatever you want at the end. I'll give you the floor. So funny. I think you, me, and maybe like three other people are the only people with Instagram with just our name. Like, there's no underscores. There's no numbers.
I was like, I need to add like BJJ or something.
No, it's awesome. That's what you want. Just the name. It's like, hey, I've been on the IG before the people. So, so happy for you. Like I said, yeah, plug away anything you want. Teammates, dad, coach, school, best friend, whatever you want. Floor is yours.
All right. I guess I'll give a shout out to my dad. He's my number one supporter. Anything I need, like anytime I need, shoot, anything I need. A massage, new wrestling shoes. If I need him to drive up here, shoot, he gave me 8 mats from his crafting tournaments to put in my house so that me and my roommate can train together. So he's the best. I thank him and my stepmom for everything that they do. And Champions MMA, shout out to them. And Life University, that's where it's at now. So
that's
thank
awesome.
You so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, we'll keep on following you. We'll see you in a couple years, probably on the MMA circuit here in Florida, and we'll talk to you really soon, Bree.
All right, awesome. Have a great one.
You too. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That was it, guys. We've been trying to put that together for a minute. Thank you so much. Brianna Kellen coming on the podcast. Huge fans of her father, the gym, the whole thing. Champions MMA going down Lakeland, Florida. So excited. Huge future. Hashtag 8 years. Love that. Hashtag Fight Bananas, guys. Make sure you stay with us. Subscribe to the YouTube page, Fight Bananas Podcast. Check out our sponsors, guys, at Endstill Nutrition. Check them out, endstillnutrition.com. Check out our family over there at Warhammer Fightwear. WarhammerFightwear.com. We also have Mako Tech mouth guards. We love them. We're going to check them out. Pensacola Island Fight 62 Mako Tech mouth guards. Check out the BullyproofFoundation.org. Please donate, a great cause. BullyproofFoundation.org. Guys, so pumped, so excited. The Fight Bananas podcast. We keep on riding and rolling. We're going. Guys, have a great week. We're going to talk to you soon. You know us. We're putting out that content. It's what we do. Content on the daily, guys. Fight Bananas Podcast. Have a good day. Thank you so much, Bree.